And we're holding on Samachei on the base, about 15 lines from the bottom of the line begins Kochayev. We talked yesterday about the whole concept of Kiddushin with one aid. We discussed the pros and cons whether, such a thing is valid Kiddushin or not. So now, continuing on that topic of one aid, in a more general sense, as far as how it relates to Dinei Momonos, no aidim at all, how it relates, in the case of Dinei Momonos, one aid in other cases, the more starts off. Mazutra v'Rav Abba Sabra, Rav Abba Sava, b'nei d'Rav Mori bar Isser. Mazutra and Rav Abba the elder, who were the sons of Rav Mori bar Isser. So Isser is the famous Isser Giyorda from Shas, the guy who kidnapped one of Shmuel's daughters, raped her, and then later on became a ger and married her, and they had a child. This child was Mori, the child was conceived while he was still a guy and born after the father was already in the sky. He's a classic example in Halacha of Hayrosa Shalai Bekdusha V'Ladasa Bekdusha, that he was conceived when his father was a guy and born by the time his father was a yid. He's actually not considered related to him in Halacha, which is why usually here the Gemara calls him Ramori Bar Isser. Usually, throughout Shas, the Gemara usually calls him Ramori Bar Rachel, after his mother, Rachel. Anyway, so now we have the next generation, Rav Zutra and Rav Ada. Their father, Ramori, had passed away, so they divided up the inheritance without Edim, without anybody. Also, the Kamei de Rabashi, so afterwards they came to Rabashi to ask Amrle. So they said to him, now we know the Pasuk says, Al Pishne Edim, Omer Rahmana. The Torah says that Dinei Momonos have to be accomplished by two Edim. Is that only in order that if you should want to change your mind once it was done on the basis of two Edim, you can't do that? You won't be able to change your mind. Is the purpose of Edim Biru, basically, to clarify that what was decided? Banan Lehadri, in that case, then we have no problem. We're not planning to retract anything that we decided as far as what we're dividing. In that case, there shouldn't be a problem. Or maybe they're Edekiyu. Maybe without Edim, the thing hasn't happened. Maybe the division is not a valid division without Edim.
Biru means what?
Biru would mean that we just needed to clarify, to clarify who said what was agreed, etc. Whereas Kiyum would mean that without them, the thing has not happened. Omalahu, so Rav Ashi answers them, you don't have a problem. Edim are only created for liars. When you have liars, when you have people who deny the fact, then that's what you need Edim for. In your case, neither of you is doing that, therefore you don't need Edim. Which leads Tosfos to say, Tam says, that in that case, what the Gemara effectively is saying, therefore, is when it comes to making a Kenyan, you do not need Edim. It follows from what we're saying over here, that if they mutually agree and they made a Kenyan, then there's no need for Edim. You only need Edim for Birur, if you need afterwards to clarify the situation.
That's because they lie.
No, if people lie, that's why you need Edim. So, in other words, in the case of Dinei Momonos, they're only Edim Biru, not Edim Kiyum. With that said, though, the Ravid disagrees on one particular type of Kinyan. The Ravid says when it comes to Kinyan Sudr, you do need Edim.
Kinyan
Sudr, he holds that you do need Edim. And they discuss different possibilities, what the logic of it is, one of them being a Kinyan Sudr, there's no actual money or goods or anything, just changing hands, just a symbolic transaction, so therefore it's important to have Edim, therefore it's important to have Edim, because otherwise you really don't have any, you really don't have any proof or anything. Okay, anyway. I'm going to buy it. Omalei Eid Echad, Achal Techelev, suppose that, now we're going to talk a little bit about one Eid. So suppose one aide tells a person, you ate chaylev, but haloim aloy achati, and the person denies it and says, I did not eat chaylev. Potter. Well, then he's potter from bringing a carbon. When the aide is saying you ate it, he means b'shoigir. Because if it was b'mezid, there wouldn't be, well, it's not so obvious. I mean, b'mezid, there would be chiyuv malchus, but obviously, fine. You can't do chayv and malchus based on one aide. But
how would he know if he did it b'shoigir with the aide chaylev?
Let's say, for example, he saw, you know, you picked up a piece of meat, and without, you know, there were two pieces of meat on the table, let's say, and you ate one of them, and I happen to know the one that you ate is chayv. And he denied it. Potter. Now, question is, time of the omaloi. Now, why, not the question, this is, no, sorry. The Tana Tuna, and indeed, our Tana taught, namely, we learn in a Mishnah, something to the same effect, that omolei eid echad achal techelev, that if one aid, sorry, let me start over because I skipped a line over here. Omer abaya, omolei eid echad achal techelev. So one aid tells him you ate chelev. V'halo shoysik, the other guy is quiet. He doesn't deny it and say I didn't eat chelev. He doesn't say anything. So then the aid is ne'eman. Matana tuna, and indeed our Tana teaches. In other words, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Krisus. If one aid tells a person you ate chelev, and the person he's speaking to denies it and says I did not eat chelev, potter. Then he is potter from a korban, implying taima de omar. Only because he denied it is he potter from a korban. However, ha ishtik. But if he were to be quiet, mehaman, then evidently the aid would be believed. So that supports what Abaya is saying.
That when you stay quiet.
Now, on what basis is that? So Rashi and Tosfos both explain that it's a matter of shtika koda. When you're being quiet in the presence of what the aid is saying, it amounts to that you're admitting to what the aid is saying is true. Which leads Tosfos to say there. It's indirectly related to our Mishnah because we said in our Mishnah there was denial. The man said I was Makadish you and she says you weren't.
But when she said you Makadish me and he stayed quiet.
No, he didn't stay quiet in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah he said I wasn't Makadish you. So yesterday when we discussed the whole concept of one aid or not, we were discussing, are we talking about that they're admitting to it, are we talking about that one of them is denying it, etc. So now we're talking more generally about the concept of one aid, but here we're saying, Abaya is saying, being quiet in the presence of one aid is enough. Now, I'm saying, what's the basis for that? So Rashi and Tosfos say that the basis of it is shtika koda, because by being quiet, it amounts to admitting that what the aid said is true. However, that leads Tosfos to say, what if, now there's a third possibility. You could say, you could not say anything. You could deny it, but there's a third possibility. You could say, I don't know. Maybe you're right, maybe you're not. Tosfos says, if you were to say, I don't know, that would not make you chayav korban. It would have to be that either you're quiet, it would have to be that you're quiet. Or obviously, if you admit, if you explicitly say you're right, I did, then of course there's no question. But yeah. But if you say I don't know, Tosfos says that then you would not be chayav in a korban.
Like you say maybe.
Yeah. However, there are other Rishonim who learn differently. There are other Rishonim who learn that the business of Eid Echad works on different principles. One of them being the idea that one aid has a certain nemonos, as we talked about yesterday, and therefore, even if you say I don't know, that might be reason enough for you to be chayiv in a korban. Only if you explicitly deny what he says, then fine, okay, it's his word against yours, basically. Especially the Gemara points, the Mishnah points out in Krisis over there. Really, even if you have two aidim telling him that you ate it for shogig, the Mishnah describes machlokes Tanoim over there, but the halacha is, I think the opinion of Remeir says over there that he's potter anyway because he has migri, basically, not really migri, but he's not really contradicting them. They're saying you ate chelev b'shogig. He could very well be saying, well, I ate it b'mezid. You're right, I ate chelev. I'm not denying the fact, but you claim I did it b'shogig and therefore I should be high of a carbon. I'm claiming I did it b'mezid. So therefore, so on that,
since he could claim that,
then we say the two aidim or even two aidim are not enough to make him chayav.
Major, he'd be chayav what?
He'd be chayav malchus, but you can't without aidim atzra. You can't without atzra anyway. That's a moot point. But the point is, therefore, that so as I'm saying, Rashi and Tosfos are saying it's a matter of shtika koda. There are other Rishonim who talk about it, the idea that one aid has a certain nemonus all by himself, and therefore, as long as you're not contradicting him, he retains that nemonus. The Amar Abaya. Number two, Abaya says another din. Suppose that one aid tells a person, your taharis became tummy. Your food, which is supposed to remain tahar, became tummy. And again, the person is quiet. Again, the one aid is believed. The Tana Tuna, and again, our Tana teaches such a thing also. That, another Mishnah in Krisus. Actually, it's a Mishnah in the Sefer Taharis, rather. It's also quoted there in Krisus, though. That if one aid says they became tamei, and the owner of the taharis denies it and says they did not become tamei, potter, not really potter, it should be tahar. whatever the point is, same thing. If you contradict the one aid, then fine, we toss out what the aid is saying. Again, taima de Omar, which implies only because he said no, do we throw out what the aid said. Hala ishtik mehaman, implying, but if he was quiet, we would believe that one aid, which is exactly what Abaye is saying.
Is it obvious that if he said no, it's all based on a premise that you need two aiding. One aid can be contradicted by the advice.
However, though, there is a concept, aid echad neman b'isurim. There is a concept that one aid can be believed as far as matters of issur v'heter. And Tosfos discusses that matter over here. What exactly Tosfos said...
Even if he says no?
Well, one second. That's Tosfos says, what's the whole, on the face of it, what's the whole chiddush in these statements of Abaye? We know that aid echad neman b'isurim. So Tosfos answers that when do we say Eidechad Nemen Bisurin is as far as matters of Heter. To say, for example, you can have, meaning in other words, let's say, you go and buy meat from a butcher. There's not two Eidim standing there testifying that he shefted it properly and removed the fat and veins and the Gidan Nasha and whatever properly. He's only one person, yet you can believe him because Eidechad Nemen Bisurin.
A butcher who says he shefted it.
Well, the point is, he's the one who did the nickel. The butcher, we're not talking about modern butcher shops where everything is, we're not talking about nowadays. It used to be that the local butcher would be the one to do the nickel and maybe even the one to do the shchita, whatever. The point is that you can believe him. As a general thing, I mean, more generally, you go and eat by somebody's house. How do you know that all their food is kosher? Because Eidah Chodnem and Bisurin, because you can... Well, there is a fact that a person has a cheskos kasher, it's true. But it's also, there is the concept, but also means if it's a third party. So if you don't have the butcher himself has stepped out, but you have somebody else who's behind the counter, and you buy meat from him, and he says that I watched the butcher do the nicker, then fine, that's good enough.
Okay, and if someone else says about the butcher, he's there, and he says, he didn't do the nicker, or the animal was not kosher.
Well, that's what Tosfos is discussing. Based on the concept of Eidechad Nemen Bisurin, that would mean that one aid is good enough to be master something.
No.
The idea to that you can have one aid after something, that is the chiddush over here, and that's what we're discussing over here, that to say that it's also, you need to have, first of all, you either need to have a bias situation over here where he's quiet, where he doesn't. So in your case, for example, one person says this butcher did not do nikur, and the butcher himself doesn't deny it, or he's quiet. Or Tosfos discusses another issue, which is something that we learned back in Gittin, that there's also something we touched on it briefly a few days ago, that there's a concept when it's biyadai, when it's something that's in his capability to do. For example, the case in Gittin over there is that you have somebody working for you on Taharas. You have, for example, somebody working for you with food that's supposed to stay Tahar, and he comes and tells you it became Tumid. But then, so it's Biyadeh. It is Biyadeh because he has the capability of making that Tumid at any time. So that also factors into it. Here we're talking about, for example, when one aide comes and tells Machal to Chaleb, the aide has no capability of making him eat Chaleb.
Right, but that's only because it's migui.
No, it's not a question of migui or not. The point is, I mean, we're going to have other examples. We're going to have another way. We're going to have this case of nitmu taresecha. There's no migui. With chelev, yeah, you can say that he could say I was made. With nitmu taresecha, you can't do it. But with nitmu taresecha, that's the point, Tosfos says. If it's biyadoi, then you don't need this whole discussion over here. If it's not biyadoi, that's what we're dealing with over here. That's a biased chiddush, that if the guy does not say anything, then you still believe the eidah. Otherwise, not.
That's only in matters of heter,
to be matter something, you don't need that. The guy said, one person says it's mutter, then that's good enough to rely on.
Right. Yeah.
In matters of iser, that's what we're discussing over here, that you need the guy to be quiet or to coin the toast because he needs it to be the other. Now, there's a lot of other Rishonim talk about different possibilities about the difference between this and the case in Gittin in general about Eidechad Nemen v'Isurin and so forth. Again, many of them understand that the whole matter that we're dealing with over here is not really a question of shtik kohedah. It's more a question of how much Nemonus does one aid have, and therefore they understand the Gemara somewhat differently. Okay, a third case. Suppose that one aid tells a person, Shurchan Nirba, your shur was sodomized, and therefore, now that doesn't make it usur for a hediyah. A regular person is still allowed to shechter and eat it. However, it becomes possible for a carbon.
By a human, by a person,
yeah. Not by a number. No, by a person. so it makes it possible to bring other carbon. V'halosha isik, and again, the owner of the shor is quiet, he doesn't say anything. Neman, then you believe the eid. Now, Rashi specifically points out over here, now it is true, if there were two eidim that the shor had been used to commit bestiality, then the shor would actually be chayv skila. However, again, we're talking only one eid here, so that's a moot point. We're only talking about the question whether it would be kosher or the carbon. So again, if the owner were to deny it, we would not believe the one eid, but if he's quiet, then we do believe him. And again, the Tana Tuna, and indeed our Tana teaches such a thing also, this one actually is a braisa, v'shenev de bayavera, that if an animal with which an avera, namely bestiality, was committed, v'shehemis, or that it killed somebody, al pi'e de'achad oy al pi'a bailim, if we know that this occurred based on one aid, or based on the test, or based on the owner himself saying it, nemon, then we believe him. So we have to ask, hi al pi'e de'achad oy al pi'a bailim, what do we mean when we say based on one aid? If it means a case you have one aid and the owners admit and the owner themselves admit to that this happened, well, I know Alpia Bailam, and that amounts to the same thing as Alpia Bailam. Ella lav de shosik. Evidently, then, the Mishnah, the Braisa, whatever, must be talking about a case where one aid says it and the owner does not contradict it. The owner is quiet. So, therefore, again, that proves a biased point that the owner being quiet is enough to substantiate what the one aid says. Okay. Now, we had three cases that Abaye brought. There was the case of Chelev, the case of Taharos, and the case of the ox. So the Gemara says, Tzricha, we needed to be told all three cases. Because if Abaye had only told us the first case, then you would say, you know why you believe the one aid? Because after all, this person, one aid is telling him, you ate Chelev. It's, after all, what's going to happen? He's going to move his carbon. If he himself didn't know in his own heart that he actually did this, that he actually ate chaylev, he wouldn't bring the carbon in the first place. Chulin v'azara, lo havi maisi. He wouldn't bring the carbon because bringing such a carbon would amount to bringing chulin v'azara. If he's bringing a chatas for having supposedly eaten chaylev, and he knows in his own mind that he really did not eat chaylev, then he'd be bringing chulin v'azara. So therefore, when
it would be a carbon.
It wouldn't be a carbon, right? So therefore, there you have reason to say that, fine, if one aid tells him a chalpa chalev and he's quiet, fine. The very fact that he's quiet and later on we see him bringing the carbon, that itself substantiates that what the aid said has that the aid had a point.
Even if we don't see him bring the carbon.
No, well, later on, eventually, he's going to bring the carbon.
Yeah, he's going to bring it. We don't have to see him.
Right. But once he's obligated on the carbon, he's going to bring it at some point. We assume that at some point he's going to bring it back. The din is actually, within Rambam recently, that somebody who's chayav achatas, Beis Din does not force him to bring it, because they leave it up to his own conscience. He himself eventually is going to realize, you know what, how can I be sitting around with this aveda on my head? I better do something about it, especially if chayav is one of those things with chayav kares. Almost all the things, pretty much all the avedas that you have to bring achatas for are things that if it remains it, it's kares. So, a person knows he has that on his head, he's going to eventually bring the achatas. So that's in the case of chayav. But when it comes to the case where an aide tells him your taharis became tamei, you could argue the fact that he's quiet doesn't necessarily mean he agrees with what the aide says. We could say, hi, the shosik, you know why this guy is being quiet? Not because he's agreeing with the aide, but because desava, because he figures, you know what, okay, so he's claiming it's tamei, big deal. Okay, so it's tamei food, big deal. I can always eat it when I'm tamei. And therefore, it's not considered a haida. It's not considered admitting to what the aide said.
Because?
Because he's just being quiet because he's thinking to himself, okay, so the aide claims that it's tummy. Fine, okay, so I'll eat it when I myself am tummy. I'm not losing anything out from it. So therefore, I don't necessarily, in other words, in the case of the chatas, you might think the guy, in the case of the chalev, the guy has reason to refuse the aide. If he really knows he didn't eat chalev, he's going to tell the aide, no, I did not eat chalev. Don't expect to see me bring a carbon because I don't want to bring chulin v'azara. But in the case of the tyrant, he might figure, okay, I won't bother refuting what he says. Okay, so he claims he claims my tyrant. When he himself is tummy, no, we're talking about, let's say for example when he's a balkari or whatever. So when we're not talking about truma food, we're not talking about truma which would have to be burned. We're talking about chulin food which he wanted to keep tahor.
Right.
But yeah, okay, so fine, he'll eat it when he's tummy. The Iyashmin and Ha, and then if Abaye had told us that second case involving the Taharos, you would say, okay, Mishum to come after, let me make Taharos. Okay, after all, he is losing out something. He can't eat this food when he's tummy. He can't eat this food when he's tummy. He can only eat it when he's tummy. Abel Shurinuba, but in the third case, where a person tells him that you're sure that bestiality was done with it, Mema Omar, he might say, you know what, I'm not going to bother contradicting that aid, because you might think to yourself, look, it's not like all the oxen in the world are going to be brought on the Mizbeach anyway. So he's saying that my ox is possible to bring as a korban. Big deal. There's lots of other oxen out there. So therefore, you might think that, again, you might think that him not saying anything doesn't amount to agreeing with what the aid say. Sricha, and that is why Abaye needs to say all three cases. Okay, the Gemara doesn't go through why it couldn't have been the other way around, why he couldn't have set the case in the Shur and we would deduce the other two from it, but okay. Next, Iboyahu. Okay, so now that we established this concept, that there's various places in Halacha, that if one aid tells you something and you don't contradict him, then that aid can be believed. Now, what about a case, Iboyahu? Ishte zinsa be'ed echad. What if there's one aid who comes to a person and says that his wife was mizach? V'shoisek, and he's being quiet. Mabu, what would be the din? So, does his wife become also to him or not? One aide comes to Reuven and tells him, your wife was Mizana. Is Reuven now also to be with his wife? Usually, you would think, Ein Dover Shabbat Ever Kof Mishnayim. But on the other hand, we just said that one aide, you're being quiet, has no manner, so it's Shikha Kaida, maybe the same thing.
How can he say yes? She did.
No, if he knows that his wife didn't, he would contradict the aid. On the face of it, if he's not saying anything, maybe it means he's tacitly admitting. So therefore, Omer Abba.
And to because of the busha, you could say no, she didn't, knowing that she did.
Fine, but if he does that, then fine. We're not talking about that. We're talking about if he's being quiet, then is that enough? Amar Abaye Neman. So Abaye says, yes, as a matter of fact, in that case, this one aid will be believed. Tosfos has a slightly different view. So Amar Abaye, he. Abaye says the same thing. It's the same as the previous three cases that we mentioned from Abaye. Yes, the same way as one aid is believed as far as Chelev or Taharos or Shur Konirba. The same thing over here. Rava Amar, on the other hand, Rava says, Ein Neman, because Havid Dover Shabba Erva. Because here it's a matter of Erva. And a matter of erva cannot be established by less than two edim.
Even if he admits it.
Yeah. Tosfos, by the way, points out, what about, you know, we learned in Sota that in order to ask for a wife to her husband, you need kinui or stira, or you need two edim of tumah. Here you don't have kinui or stira. So Tosfos answers, the difference is over there is talking about if the husband is contradicting them. Then you need, unless there were two edim of tumah, or unless it was preceded by kinu istira, then that's different. Here we're talking about the husband is not saying anything.
Over there, the husband raises the inyan of istira?
No, over there, there's two possibilities. Either there was no kinu istira, but two edim come, then you need two edim, and come and say that she was mizana, or you have, there was kinu and there was istira, and afterward there was one edim who comes and says tumah, which we learned over there, one aid is enough for Tumah after Kinui or Stira. But here we're talking about there's no Kinui, no Stira. Nevertheless, Abaye is saying one aid because the difference is Tosfos says here he's not saying anything, there he is. Tosfos also discusses what about according to Rava? Fine, if Shtika Kaida, if again, like Rashi and Tosfos are learning that the reason why one aid is believed in all these other cases is Shtika Kaida, because by being quiet he's effectively admitting. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday, we talked about the idea of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Di Surah, that you're able to make something also on your own say-so. So over here, if you have one aide saying that his wife was Mizana, and he's not saying anything, fine, now, maybe you can argue you need two aides. But isn't it Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Di Surah?
No, it is.
In a way.
Shavya Nafsha
Chaticha Di Surah means he's made it to himself, he's made it, or in this case, her, his wife, to himself, like a forbidden piece of meat. Just like a person has the ability to say, I consider this meat trafe and I won't eat it, the same way a person, yeah. Tosfos says that actually, Rava would disagree with the concept that we said that it was a matter of shtika kaida. He would say that the reason why we would believe someone, and why we would normally believe, why in all these other cases we would believe somebody with one aid, after all, Rava wasn't disagreeing with Abaye in the previous three cases, is because Raglayim would Rava, because there's reason to suspect that something happened over here. But after all, with a matter of error, it's different. You need more, you need Rava, you need
Raglayim.
No, in the other cases, for example, in the case of Chalev, one person is coming telling him, Erase Chalev, that itself, I mean, the fact that he doesn't say anything creates a presumption that he probably did. And the same thing with the other cases. Here, very nice to have Lion with but you still need two aiding. Okay. I'm going to buy it. Menon Minallah. Where do I get this idea that one aid and he tacitly admits by not saying anything is considered enough, that he's also to her? From the following story, there was a certain blind person, he used to learn Mishnayos or Braises Balpeh in front of Mar Shmuel. One day it was getting late, and he wasn't showing up to Shmuel's house. There was this medrash or whatever. Shmuel sent a messenger to find out what to get him to hurry up to come.
He was teaching, or what was he doing?
He was reviewing them, I guess. Rashi says la'esa kavur le'lifnei Shmuel. He had a set time to come and then learn with Shmuel as a Talmud, I guess. Yeah. Maybe the idea was like he'd be reviewing the Mishnayos and Shmuel could correct anything that he got wrong or whatever it is, anyway. So Shmuel sent the shliach to tell him to hurry up, Rashi says. The shliach went in one direction to go to his house. Meanwhile, the blind person came from a different direction. There were two different possible routes to get from Shmuel's house to the blind man's house. So the shliach took one way, and then the blind person took so they didn't meet on the way. He off the shliach. So when the shliach came back, Omar, he said, by the way, while I was at your house, Ishtei Zinsa, your wife was Mizana while you were away. So now this blind man came to Shmuel to ask, what's the din? Amalei, and Shmuel tells him, Imahemimach, if you trust this person, Zil Afka, then you should go divorce her. And if not, you should not divorce her. Now, what do you mean, if he's trustworthy to you? My love, shouldn't it mean, Imahemimach, love Gazlanahu? Shouldn't it mean, Abaya argues, that Shmuel meant, if he's trustworthy in the sense that you know he's not a Gazlan, who would be possible later? Oh, okay, Pnei Yeshua says more generally, not specifically a Gazlan. We have no particular reason, but no, he means more generally that you know that he means it in truth. You know he's not just doing it in order to harass you or something. So then so we see that one aid where he's not saying anything is believed. The Rava, now what would Rava answer to that? Rava can't disagree with that story. He would say, technically they're all Amoraim, he could disagree with Shmuel, but he's not going to. But the Rava has a different way of explaining it. He says, what Shmuel meant is, if you trust this person as much as you would trust two Edim, Zilapka, then you should go divorce her. And even then, the Farshim say, Rava doesn't mean you have to divorce her. It just means, fine, you want to be Yotzi de Shemayim, then fine. The Eloi lo tafka, if not, then you shouldn't. By the way, how this works nowadays, but we have Cherem de Ben Gershom, where a man can't divorce his wife against his will, is a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch in a couple of different places in Eben Eventura. Well, that's what I mean, yeah. There's a whole discussion in a couple of places in Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer. It gets very complicated, this whole business of one aid coming and telling a person, and we're saying that technically you have the ability to believe him, but under Cherem de Ben Gershom, do you have the ability to say, I believe him? That's the discussion. That Amar says that maybe you don't. You don't have the ability to say voluntarily, yeah, I believe the guy, let me go divorce her. And they're benediction.
So what do you do according to the
benediction? So according to the Ramah, you would need more solid evidence than that. One aid is not enough in that case. Furthermore, Abaya says, no, I mean, where do I get my, let me, fine, I'll give you another proof to my opinion that one aid is enough if there's no contradiction. Because Rava said, I can understand. He objected. I said, I can understand that story with Shmuel differently. So Rabbi says, fine, I have another proof. Titania, as we learn in a Braisa, this is a long Braisa that goes almost to the end of the Amud. The Gemara is really only quoting it for one line in it, but it's a fascinating story in Jewish history. Titania, we learn in a Braisa. Might be Yanei HaMelech, Shehalach HaPuchlitz Shebamidbar. It happened once with Yanei HaMelech, one of the kings from the Chashmonaim, who went to David Cohen, being descended from the Hashmonaim, and he was also a king. Okay, so that's what the rest will see soon. I mean, at that time, the Hashmonaim were functioning as king. There was, the early Hashmonaim didn't actually call themselves kings yet. They only started doing that later on. We'll talk about it a little bit after we get through the story. We'll talk about the identity of the Yanai. But anyway, practically speaking, even before they called themselves kings, they were functioning as kings. So there is a number of Rishonim talk pro and con whether they have the right to do that. But Ramban, the Ramban writes a very famous thing in his Pirush on Vayechi in Yaakov's Bracha to Yehuda, that only Jewish kings are only ever supposed to be from Malchus Beis David. It was illegal for the Hashmonaim to take the kingship for themselves, and therefore he says that is why the Hashmonaim ended up getting wiped out by Hodus, as we'll learn in the next chapter.
And Levim take the
Levim are also not from Shevet Yehuda either, so it'd be the same thing. According to the Ramban, that's why the Hashmonaim were punished. That most of the four out of Matasiel's five sons were killed during the wars with the Greeks. Eventually, the whole family was wiped out by Hodus. The Ramban attributes it all to this. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who seem to say differently. The Rambam doesn't say explicitly to the contrary, but on the other hand, in Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam writes very positively about the fact that the Hashmonaim got rid of the Greeks from Eretz Yisrael and created a kingship in Eretz Yisrael that lasted 200 years until the Korban. So it seems that the Rambam views the kingship of the Hashmonaim positively. We'll see in our story that
every king in Israel has to come from Shiva too.
Basically, that is true. So there are, here we see they weren't. But again, you know, there's different possibilities, including maybe that only applies when all the Shvatim are in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe in this case, there was nobody available from Shevet Yehuda. And it was an emergency situation. There were different answers.
Yosef was king, was not from...
That was long before, that's long before Yaakov ever gave the Bracha to Yehuda.
When he gave the
Rambam phrases it as follows: that once David was anointed, then he merited the kingship for himself and all his descendants for all generations. However, a Navi has the ability to declare a king from some other Shevet, for like Achi Ashulaini declared Yerovam, but it will only be a temporary thing. At the Hashmonaim, there were no Navim in that time. The Ruah had ceased 200 years earlier, so they obviously weren't appointed by a Navi. But again, there's different possibilities that Rishonim and Achronim talk about. Maybe since not all the Shvatim were there, then maybe there's more leeway. Maybe because it was an emergency situation, whatever. We'll see in the story, actually, the Chachamim did not so much object to him being a king. We'll see. The objection was more to him being a Kohen Gadol. So he went to, He went to Kochlis, the name of an area in the desert, v'kibisham shishim krakim, and he conquered 60 cities over there. When he got back, he was very happy. He called together all the Chachamim, Amalahem, says to them, our forefathers, when they were involved in building the Beis Hamikdash, named the Bais Sheni, where they just come back from Babel and most of the people were very, very poor, they were eating meluchim. Rashi says that meluchim is some kind of vegetables. I've seen different possibilities what it is. Maybe it's kreft, maybe it's meluchim, it's called in the Gemara over here. But Rashi identifies it with something that might be kreft. I've seen other possibilities. It might be mallows, you know, which are a plant that grows in meadows, that grows in meadows during the siege of Yerushalayim, during the Israeli War of Independence, for example. A bunch of people lived off those because there was nothing else available. It's a plant. They actually, the roots of it have a little sweetness to it. That's what marshmallows originally are made from mallows that grow in the marsh. Nowadays they make them from artificial stuff. But anyway, it's a plant. It has leaves that are edible in a pinch. I've seen other explanations. Meluchim could be moss. Whatever it is, it was some kind of cheap vegetable because they couldn't afford anything better. So Yanai says to Chachamim, in that case, now that we're having a party to celebrate my victories, now we're in a good situation, we Jewish people are rich and powerful, let's eat meluchim symbolically to remember how much better off we are than our ancestors. How much Hashem, to thank Hashem, Rashi says, to thank Hashem that Hashem has made us so rich and powerful and then successful. So, the hell of meluchim al shulchanos shazal v'achu. Sure enough, they brought meluchim on golden tables and they ate. However, there was a certain man over there, ish less, a less meaning a scoffer, nothing in Yiddishkeit it means anything to him, levra with an evil heart, ublyal and a purdic oil, somebody who doesn't consider himself bound by anything of Yiddishkeit.
Bli oil,
right. The Elazar ben Pu'ira Shmoyer, his name was Elazar ben Pu'ira. So this Elazar ben Pu'ira speaks to Yanai. Yanai HaMelech, Libam shall Prushim Alecha. The Prushim's hearts are against you. They're not really your friends, Rashi says. They're your enemies. They're not really happy about your successes. Yeah. oh, so Yamayasa, so what should I do? How you're telling me that. How am I going to prove that? And Allah tells him, Hokim lahem b'tzitz shebeinenecha. Make them, put the tzitz, the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol on your forehead. They will have to stand up out of respect for it, because Hashem's name is written on it. And once they're standing, they will tell you what they're really thinking.
Because the
very fact that he's putting on the tzitz, as the Gemara, as we'll see in a couple of lines, is going to cause them to protest. Actually, now, Rashi and Tosfos discussed, and a number of other Rishonim discussed, never mind that we're going to get into the question soon whether he was a valid Kohen. We'll leave that alone for the moment, but let's talk about how is he wearing the tzitz anyway, not during the time of Avodah.
Right.
So Rashi says, we learned earlier that Bigdei Kohuna Nitnu L'Hanespan, that the Kohenim are allowed to wear Bigdei Kohuna even after the time of the Avodah is over. Very well, then he can wear the tzitz. Now, Tosfos argues on that. Tosfos says, I think,
immediately after the Avodah was finished. No.
That's what Tosfos objects. Tosfos objects, the Mashmos of the Gemara over there, is they were supposed to take them off as soon as possible after the Avodah.
Right.
So Tosfos learns that that's true of most of the Bigdei Kohuna. The tzitz is an exception, since, after all, the Pasuk says about the tzitz, v'hoyah mitzchei tamid, it should be on his forehead all the time, then therefore there is an exception. The tzitz he can wear... It doesn't literally mean all the time, because, for example, a Kohen Gadol sometimes they go to the bathroom. But the point is, he can wear it even outside the time of the Avodah. So that's how Tosfos learns. There are other Rishonim who talk about other possibilities. Among them are, maybe in fact it was wrong of him to wear a tzitz like this at a party, especially, you know, the drinking, whatever, and that may be part of why the Chachamim objected to it. And then there's another explanation, I think, from the Yad Ramah, that it's not talking about during the party, that Allah of Mahuda tells him wear the tzitz during the party. What he's telling him is, do the Avodah in this Mikdash at some point. Make sure the Chachamim are there at the time. You'll be wearing the tzitz, because you'll be wearing all the Bigdei Kohuna, and you'll see that they'll object. Anyway, sure enough, he put on the tzitz, and they all stood up. There was one elder Talmid Chacham there, his name was Yehudim ben Gedidya. It should be enough for you that you have the kingly crown. Hanach kesek kohuna lazarish al Aaron. Leave aside the crown of kohuna for the legitimate descendants of Aaron. What do you mean the legitimate descendants? Well, shahoyu oimrim, because there was a rumor going around imay nishbeis b'medim that Yanai's mother had been captured by the goyim, by the Greeks, in Medim, with the town where all near the present day town of Medim, but that's the town where Matthiyahu and that whole family came from. If she was a shvuya, then as we learned, she's also then she's also to marry a kohen and her children and be halalim midrabanan. So he's saying to him, you want to be king, fine. A bunch of Mephoshim talk about two questions. First of all, if he's apostle Yichus, how can he be a king anyway? And one answer is, okay, that's the fact that apostle Yichus shouldn't be a king is only midrabanan. So Yehudah ben Gedidya says, fine, that we're willing to set aside. But if your mother is a shvuya, then that's a more serious thing to after the Kohen Gadol. That's something more. I mean, the shvuya itself is only dinabanan, but if she really was raped by the goyim, then she'd be also to your father daraisa, and you'd be a cholol daraisa. So there's that. There's other mepharshim. They also talk about the question. Why didn't they object to him acting on the Kohen Gadol all these years? And again, there's a lot.
It was a long time after he became Kohen Gadol.
On the face of it, I mean, so there are mepharshim who say that maybe not. There are Mephoshim who say that maybe not. Maybe this is the first time he's acting as Kohen Gadol. However, on the assumption that he'd been Kohen Gadol for a while, there's a lot of possibilities. One of them being that they may have figured, as the Ritva says this, since it was at a party, he's in a good mood. Adarava, maybe now he'll be more receptive to listening to that. Actually, you know what? It's interesting. Josephus, Abdel, tells a very similar story, almost identical in many ways to the way the Gemara tells it over here, although he mixes up the names. He has the name of the, he calls the Chacham who objected, instead of our Gemara calls him Yehudah ben Gedidya, and then calls the Tzduki, the Rosha, Elazar ben Purira. Josephus calls the Chacham Elazar, and says negative things about him, similar to the negative things the Gemara says here about Elazar ben Purira, and he calls the Tzduki Yonathan. Anyway. Yes, but anyway, Josephus adds an interesting detail that at this party, and actually one other important detail which we'll talk about in a minute, is that Josephus tells the story not about Yanai, but about Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who's the father of Yanai. Anyway, Josephus adds the detail that when
Yochanan,
this is Yochanan the first, this is the Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was Kohen Gadol for 80 years. Yeah, wait, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, so Josephus adds an interesting detail. He says that when Yochanan had all the Chachamim together at his party, he said to them, "If there's anything I'm doing wrong, please tell me. I want to correct it." And that's when Yehuda ben Gedidio, or Josephus' version of Elazar, got up and then made this objection. Okay. Anyway, so that sort of fits with what the Ritva is saying, that because he figured, you know what, it's a good time at the party, maybe now we'll be receptive. However, they checked into the matter and they couldn't find any solid evidence of it. They checked into this matter to find the business was in Mother of Shavuya, and they couldn't find any. These four words, Vayivruka Shadava Velayimotze, are the reason why Abaye is bringing in this whole story. Because afterwards we're going to discuss what it means, Vayivruka Shadava Velayimotze. But meanwhile, continuing with the story, Vayibablu Chachmi Yisrael. What? What?
The fact that he was believed on one person.
Wait, no, because not Yehuda ben Gedidi himself not giving edus on it.
No.
By Yivruka Shadavar Olayimotze, we're going to discuss what it means, what kind of evidence did or didn't they find. By Yivablu, continuing the story, by Yivablu, Chachmi Yisrael Bezam, the Jewish people left in anger, meaning that they left under a cloud of anger from the king. The king was angry at them. Yanai was angry at them for calling his yichus and then his kunik zola into question. So now they left under a cloud of that. So now this Elazar ben Puir, the troublemaker, still continues racing on Yanai. He says, Yanai, heady it should be through a kachu dinai. A simple Jew could be treated like that. That you'll insult him in public and he'll just have to grin and bear it. Is that how you should act? That you shouldn't take revenge on them for being so chutzpahdik to you? Here also, actually, it's interesting, Josephus adds another detail to the story that gives a little more color to what Elazar ben Puir is saying over here. He tells that afterwards Yanai went to the Chachamim and said, look, this guy was a chutzpahniak in my presence. What are you going to do about it? So the Chachamim talked it over. They voted on it, and they decided, we'll give him malchus. Actually, Josephus mentions an interesting point. He says the Prushim, meaning the Chachamim, are not so quick to kill people. As we know, the famous thing in Machlis, that the Sanhedrin kills a person even once in 7 years, is a murderous based thing. So, yeah. So the laws of Impurita is saying, you know what, if they insulted a commoner, fine, maybe he deserved Malchus. You see, the very fact that they're saying only Malchus rather than Misa shows that they really don't respect you as a king, or Kohen God, or whatever. So Yanai says, so what should I do? Elazar tells him, if you want to listen to my advice, roim some, trample them, meaning kill them. Yanai says, turda mateo, what's going to be with the turda then? Elazar says, no problem. The turda is wrapped up and placed in the corner. Anyone who wants to come learn turda, where do we need the chum? Interject in the Braith over here, Miyad Nizrukha by Apikursus. At that moment, Apikursus was injected into Yanai. He became an Apikurus by agreeing to that. To have a little because otherwise he should have objected to Elazar. Can after Shabbat, fine, not what you're saying works. As far as Torah Shabbat Sab, anybody can learn it. Torah Shabbat Peh Mai, what's going to happen to Torah Shabbat Peh, which remember, it wasn't even written down in those days. It was all about Peh, yeah. But he didn't, and that shows that he became an Apikurus. So you're mentioning Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who became an Apikurus. So first of all, like I said, Josephus does tell this whole story about Yochanan. But there's also, it's interesting, there's a Gemara in Brachos. Abaye and Rava discuss over there the issue. If you have somebody who was a Tzadik Gomor, is it possible that he'll become a Rosh at some point? What about Yochanan Kohen Gadol? He was Kohen Gadol for 80 years and he became a Tzaddiki. So Abaye says, actually, Yochanan and Yanai are two names for the same person. So therefore, he started out as a Rosha, later on he became a Tzaddik, and now he became a Rosha again. So then in that case, that fits. So first of all, it's Abaye over here quoting the story. That's why he's quoting it about Yanai. But second of all, Mephoshim explained, that Abaye might say, like we said before, that this is actually the first time that Yanai ever is serving as Kohen Gadol. We're not talking about he's been Kohen Gadol for 80 years or whatever. It's the first time. That's why the Chachamim objected. So he started out as a tzaddik. He started out as a good guy. Now he became a Rosha. He became a tzaddik. As the Gemara was going to say, he killed the Chachamim. Later on, let's say he did Shuvah. But fine, nevertheless, so he continued as Kohen Gadol for 80 years. But in the end, he went back to his old ways and became a Rosha. That's the example about Tam Rav Chaya. On the other hand, Rav, yeah, okay, Rava says over there that no, Yanai and Yochanan are two different people. Rava says. So therefore, in other words, a number of historians say that if Rava were quoting that Bryce over here, he might well have said Yochanan rather than Yanai. Abaya holds they're both the same person. Rava holds two different people. So Rava would answer that no, even a tzaddik meikore could end up becoming a rasha, like you say, Alpan and Bat Sahadri Mosach. So Rava has a different explanation over there of a story involving Shmuel HaKatan, whatever. The point is, Rava might well say that this story happened with Yochanan. That yes, he had been calling Rava at that point for 80 years, he'd worn tzitz many times, etc. But now all of a sudden he became a tzaddik. Anyway.
So how's it relevant to our mission?
So wait, we'll get back to that. Let's first finish the story. Miyad, immediately, Batoitse Tarai de Elozab and Purida. Immediately, the evil Batoitse, it actually has two explanations of Batoitse. One, Meloshin Vayotse, it sprouted forth. The evil sprouted forth. From this Elozab and Purida, through this Elozab and Purida. Or it actually has a second explanation of Batoitse, Meloshin Nitzit. Like it started burning. It was ignited. The evil was ignited through Elozab and Purida. Anyway, v'ner v'yehogu kochach mitzol, all the chachamim were killed by Yanai, v'yehoylem v'shtoymim, the world was desolate of Torah, ad shabash Shimon ben Shattach, until Shimon ben Shattach came, who was actually Yanai's brother-in-law, so therefore the queen, Shlom Tzion, and Shimon ben Shattach's sister, was able to hide him from Yanai's anger, v'hechter at the Torah l'yoshan, and he restored the Torah to its original state. That's the story.
How can he, in his lifetime, restore the whole Torah when he killed all the
Chachamim? No, meaning, well, all the other Chachamim were killed. But Shimon ben Shattach, who was one of the greatest, he was the Nasi, he was the Abbasian. At that time, first he was the Abbasian, later on he became the Nasi, whatever. He was able to restore, he was able to gather the remaining Chachamim. Yeah, he was Israel. He was Israel. But he was when we say, in Pirkei Avos, the Yehudim and Tamar, the Shimon ben Shattach, that's the one. So he was able to restore things back to the way they were. Thus far the story. Now that we have the story, let's analyze the part of it that's connected to our Sugya. Again, the four words, Vayivukash Hadavar V'lo Yimaseh. Hey Chidon, what are we talking about when we say that they checked into the matter but they couldn't find any evidence that Yanai's mother had been a Shavuot? Yeah. Ilema de Beit Shrei Amir Yishtabai or Beit Shrei Amir Lo Yishtabai? Are you talking about that there were two Edim who said that there were two Edim who said that she was captured by the Goyim and two other Edim contradicting them and saying that she was not?
No.
Well, then my chod, the samchatahani, smoichahani. Then why, what do you mean, the loy motsu? What do you mean you couldn't find evidence? Then instead of, so why should you rely on one pair of Edim, rely on the other pair? Namely, Rashi says, after all, Yanai has no cheskas kashrus. Mela, his mother, has a cheskas kashrus. There was a time when she wasn't raped by the Goyim. But her son, who was born afterwards, has no cheskas kashrus. The whole point is we're trying to figure out whether he was cholol or not. So, therefore, you instead of relying on the Edim who said that she wasn't captured, rely on the Edim who say that she were. So what do you mean, v'loy nimsa?
But you cannot, if you have two opposing each other, how can you rely on just on one?
No, but the point is, why are we saying, right, v'kosh hadavar v'loy nimsa implies that they found no evidence to substantiate the whole thing. And actually, the Ritva adds, the point is, we see, look how angry Yanai got. They end up killing them. Now look, I mean, Yanai was a reasonable person after all. It, you know, whatever it was, whether he'd been cutting gadol for 80 years or not, we can still assume he was a reasonable person. I mean, he knows how the rules of evidence work. If there are two Edim saying that his mother was a Shavuya and two that not, he wouldn't have been so violently angry at Yehuda ben Didier's argument to go and start killing them. You know, okay, the fact is there are two Edim who say my mother was a Shavuya. You know what? Look, the man had a point. Okay, there are two Edim against them. Fine, we can judge which two we should believe. But you can't go so far as to listen to the Savozim and Kurir, the Tzaduki, and say they're doing it all out of hatred for you. So it has to be. It can't be that. It has to be that. It has to be that. That's not the kind of evidence.
Yeah.
Tosfos gives other explanations that we can put two Edim against two and leave things in the Chazaka when we're talking about something Derabanan. Here we're talking about something Deraita. Yeah. Incidentally, I forgot to mention actually one thing in the story. The Doros of Rishonim mentions an interesting takeaway from the story. He says, you know, we always know that the Tzedukim didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. We see from the end of the story over here, they tell him that the Torah is available to anybody, and Yanai didn't come to it. Why did the Tzedukim decide not to believe in Torah Shabbat Peh of all things? He says, because how did this whole story happen? They called Yanai's fitness as a Kohen into question based on a Din D'Rabbanan. The whole concept of Shavuya is only a Din D'Rabbanan. Now, what are they going to do, the tzedukim? They're not going to say, we believe in all the dinim that Rabbanan accept for that one. That wouldn't look good in the public eye. What do you mean? You're doubtful leaving out the one that, that's the deity. So therefore, they say they found it more expedient to say, you know what, we don't believe in anything the Chachamim say. And therefore, it's not an issue.
Because just the one din.
Because, yeah. That's an interesting thing that he says on it. Yeah.
Who says that?
Dirtus of Shoinim, a paper on Jewish history. Okay. Anyway. Evidently, we must be talking about that there was one aide saying she was a shivuya, and two aidim came and contradicted him. And that would explain why Yana is so angry.
Otherwise, if there were two and two?
Well, otherwise, if there were two and two, that's what we're saying. Then Yana has no chesed kasher. That's the point.
And
therefore, then we would be right in removing him from being kohen gadol. At least Yana himself would have realized that, you know what, it's a fair thing.
It had to be
that there's one aid. And if we're saying the expression is the loy nimsa, that we could not find any evidence, that must mean there was one aid saying that she was captured, two aidim contradicting him. So therefore, that's the loy nimsa. That's by Yivuka Shadava, they looked for it, and all they could find is one aid, the loy nimsa, but it turned out you can't even believe that one aid to the two against it. And again, the ritual says that would explain why Yana got so violently angry. How are you talking? You're believing one aid with the two aid and contradicting him. The time of the Kamak sexually baits Ray. So what are we seeing? That why don't we believe that one aid? Because there are two aid and contradicting him. Holab Hachi Mahema. Otherwise, we would believe one aid. Therefore, Abaya says, going back to my original point, so you see that even in the Dover Shabbat, one aid is enough if he's not being contradicted. Because yes, had there been one aid that she was a Shavuya, and there hadn't been two aid to contradict him, then yeah, we would believe him.
Without these two aid?
He
would have been.
Yeah. But Rava, what would Rava answer to that? He would say, Lo'olam Tirei Tirei. No, you know what we are talking about? There were two Edim against two Edim. Ah, you're saying in that case that Hanaz Yana have a Cheskes Kashrus Beflau. V'chidr Omer of Acha Bar Rav Manyumi Be'edah Hazama. Just like we find in a different context that Rav Acha Bar Rav Manyumi says that we're not just talking about two Edim against two Edim where the second Edim contradicts the first. We're talking about with the second Edim on Mazin, the first one. We know the difference between Achosha and Azama. Akasha is the first pair of Edim come and say something, and the other second set and say that's not true. For example, the first set come and say she was a Shavuya, the second set come and say she was not a Shavuya. So fine, which one do you believe? That Trela had a Trela, that's two against two.
And it's called?
That's called Akasha. Hazama is with the second set of Edim. No, Hazama, Miloshim Kach, Miloshim Denial. Hazama is something else. Hazama is where the second set of Edim say, no, not proving that they were lying. Hazama is saying, maybe she was a Shavuya, maybe not. But you can't testify that she was a Shavuya because you weren't there. You were someplace that we can testify that you were someplace else at the time. That's Hazama. And we know the Torah says, Vatfisim Loikash Hazam. And in that case, we completely throw out the testimony of the first Edim. In fact, we give them the punishment that they meant to give to get to the other person. The same kind of when Malchus missed or whatever it is. And we believe only the second thing. So in that case, you could have had two against two over here. But there was Vayivuka Shadavar. They looked for the matter. They found two Edim. Veloy Nitsa. But then two other Edim came and were Mazin then. So you can't prove that there's one aid involved over here. The same thing over here. There could have been Eide Hazama. The Boisema, or another possibility, that you could explain, again, there were two pairs of Eidim, two against two, but the situation was like Rabbi Yitzchok says. Rabbi Yitzchok says that actually what happened was, instead of letting Yanai's mother, who was from the Chashmonaim family, instead of letting her be captured, they brought in a Shivcha instead. The Goyim captured her, thinking they had a girl from the Chashmonaim family. So therefore, with the two Edom are not contradicting each other. One pair of Edom comes and says that this woman was captured, and another set of Edom comes and says, you thought it was that woman, but actually it was her shivcha that they substituted for her. So therefore, that's what it means. By Yibukha Shadavar, they checked, they found Edom, who said that she was a shivuya, but you have two other Edom. They're not contradicting them in the sense that then we should say, which pair do we believe? They're just clarifying. What you guys thought you saw wrong. You thought that it was her and it was really her shivcha. And in that case, yes, we believe the second set. So again, you can't prove that there was only one aid involved. Amar Rava. So now Rava says, Manah Minava. Where do I get my opinion? So now Rava's saying in general about this machloikas between Abaya and me. Where Abaya is saying that you can believe one aid in Dover Shabbat Erva if he's not being contradicted. And he had his proof so far. Rava says you can't. Rava says, I have a proof from the following case. Minami Nalakam, where do I get my din that one aid is not enough for a Dvar Erva, even if nobody's contradicting him? I get it from the following case. It's not. We learn in a Mishnah, it's actually a Braisa. Amar Rav Shimon, Maisa ben Megura shel Diskin b'Yavne. It happened once with a container of water, not really a container, a pool of water, a mikveh of Diskin. Rashi says Diskin is either the name of a person or the name of an area. Shebiyavne, b'Yavne, in Yavne. Shoyfei medes b'cheskes shleima. Now this Megura, this mikveh, had a chazaka of being whole, of being at least 40 sa'. And at some point they measured it, and it says chasera. They found it's missing. It's not still 440 saw, so it's not kosher for tefillah. Kol taharos shenasu agabos. And now, what happens to all the taharos that were prepared based on things being tovled in it? People have tovled dishes in there and used them for truma or other things that are supposed to be kept tahor. People themselves have tovled and then. Reb Tarfon said all those things up until now are considered tar, because he says we can assume that it was complete 40 saw until, and not only at the beginning, we know it was, but because it had a chazaka of having 40 saw, we can leave that chazaka in place, and therefore until we actually measure it and find that it's not. Reb Akiva Matame, whereas Reb Akiva says that no, because you don't know, it may have lost part of its 40 saw shortly after it was measured. And after all, as the Braisa is going to continue, Rabbi Akiva points out the people who tovled in it have a chazaka of being tamei.
Meaning,
where a person goes to the mikveh, we know. Rabbi Tarfon is taking the view this mikveh had a chazaka of being 40 sub. Right. Rabbi Akiva is countering that by saying, yes, but the person who went to the mikveh, before he went to the mikveh, we know he was tamei. In order to say that he's tamei, you need to know definitively that he's tamei. Here you have a suffix on the mikveh, you can't say that. Amr of Tarfon, so that's what Tarfon says. Mikveh is a becheska shalom hu oimid. This mikveh, after all, had a chazaka of being whole. Misafik at the balachasra. You want to say that it's missing some of its volume based on a suffix. Al tachasrenu misafik. Don't say based on a suffix that it was missing some of its volume all this time. Assume that it was whole up until now.
In other words, he's saying.
He's saying keep the chazaka. No, he's saying that the mikveh has a chazaka, so it retains its chazaka until we know otherwise. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, other was a chazaka tamei. Yeah, but the person who tovled the mikveh had a chazaka to begin with that he was tamei. After misafik at the tarei, you want to make him tamei based on a suffix. Maybe when he tovled the mikveh was 40 sa. Al tarei misafik, you can't make him tamei based on a suffix. He has a chazaka tamei.
You cannot make on a suffix that he's tamei. You cannot make on a suffix that he's tamei.
Well, that's basically a question: which chazaka is stronger, the chazaka of the mikveh or the chazaka of the person? Omer of Typhon, so Typhon says, I can argue as proof to my view. Moshal Omer to Makar Ragam Mizbeach. Think of it by analogy. You have a Kohen is standing and bringing a korban on the Mizbeach, Venodashu ben Grusho ben Chalutza, and while he's bringing the korban, you find out that he's the son of a woman who was divorced, or a Chalutza, which would make him possible, would make him a Cholol. Shavadosik Shera. And what? Like, yeah. And yet his avoda that he did already is kosher, as we'll say later in the Gemara.
That's the deen.
We'll see too. Mind you, are we talking about when we find that he's for sure a cholol or only a suffix? The Rambam holds that we're talking about even if we find out that for sure he's a cholol, that his avoda up until now is still kosher. The Ramban holds, and he understands the Gemara here accordingly, that we're talking about only if it's a suffix or a cholol.
Well, why is the Rambam saying that?
We're going to see soon. We're going to see a limit from a pasuk that a chol is avoda kasher. Wait. The point being, therefore, so by the same token, we assumed up until now this guy was a good kohen. Now we find out he's not. Nevertheless, we don't invalidate the avoda he did so far. Okay, Tosfos points out, I mean, fine, by chol we have a limud that is avoda kasher. We have no such limud by a mikveh. So Tosfos learns that actually, besides the machlokas that we're talking about over here, we actually have a double machlokas over here between Reb Tarfon and Reb Akiva. We have the machlokas that the Braita is telling us whether the people who tovled in this mikvah up until now are considered tahor or not. We also have an unexpressed machlokas. What if, for example, a kohen tovled in this mikveh, did avoda, and later on, Adam come and say the mikveh was missing some of its volume. Not just that they actually measure it and they find it's missing its volume. So again, Reb Tarfon would say, similar to Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, you would say that it's avoda up until now is kosher. So that's sort of Tarfon is using that as his analogy.
Okay.
In other words, that there's an unexpressed argument between him and Rabbi Akiva. The Ramban and the other Rishonim learn that no. They're saying that the issue is a Sopik Cholol, so therefore Sopik Cholol is more similar to a Mikveh, that there's a Sopik on the volume of it at the time.
The 40-seer is Midoraisa?
Yes.
Where do we know that from?
Because the Pasuk says that you have to tovel, what's the Lashon of Rachat B'mayim, Tov Saroi, so it has to be the amount of the volume of water that a person's whole body will fit into at one time.
That's 40
seer. So Shabbatic Sheris, he sees Avodah as kosher. So the same thing over here. Amar Rav Akiva, on the other hand, Rav Akiva says, no, mashallah imidu makir agamem zeh benedushol ba'amum. Okay, I'll give you another analogy. Imagine a Kohen is going and bringing a korban on the Mizbeach, and you find out he's a ba'amum halfway through the Avodah. Shabbatic Psula, then his Avodah is possible, even retroactively. Whatever he did of the Avodah up until now is no good. So by the same token, then by the Mikveh, it can be the same thing. Omer of Typhon, after the Mitzvah of the Baal Mum, okay, so you want to analogize this Mitzvah to a Baal Mum. So I need the Mitzvah of the Ben Grusha or the Ben Cholot. I want to make an analogy between a Kohen, between that and a Kohen of the Cholot, stuff a Cholot, whatever. Nidah, let me do it. Okay, we've got to consider which one is it more similar to? Idem of the Ben Grusha or Ben Cholot, the Nenuk of Ben Grusha, a Ben Kohen Cholot, Idem of the Baal Mum, the Nenuk of Baal Mum. Fine, let's figure this out. Let's sit down and figure this out logically. Which one is this case of the Mitzvah more similar to? Hiskel Rabbi Akiva Lod. So Rabbi Akiva started arguing as follows. Mikveh psula b'yachid. A mikveh can become possible based on one person. If even one person comes and says, I measured the mikveh and it did not have 40 sah, then that's it. Again, Eidah Hanem and B'Surim. Which again, this is the reason why Rabbi is bringing this in over here. Baal Mum psula b'yachid. Again, a Baal Mum also becomes possible by a yachid. If one person comes and tells somebody he's a Baal Mum, then that's enough, as we'll see soon. Don't compare it to Ben Grusha or Ben Chalotza, where you need two. There's Rava's proof that you need two, not just one. Dover Acher, or another way of looking at it, Mikveh Psula B'Gufay, a mikveh missing some of its 40 tzah, the psul is in the mikveh itself, in the intrinsic mikveh itself. Baal Mum Psula B'Gufay, the Baal Mum also, the psul is intrinsic to him, it's something in his body. Don't prove it from Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, where the psula is because of his mother's status, because of his not because of his own status. Therefore, for those two reasons, I would argue that that is more similar to a Baal Mum. Amalei Reb Typhon, Reb Typhon was very impressed. He said, "Akiva, call a Purish Mimchok, a Purish Menachayim. Anybody who stays away from you is like they're staying away from life." Meaning, basically, he concedes the argument that you have a point. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's consider.
He doesn't bring another analogy saying that it's close, more close to ease.
No, he couldn't find one, I guess. Yeah. Okay. So now we got to consider high Baal Mum Shapsula B'Yachid Hechidami. When we say a Baal Mum becomes possible through one person, what are we talking about? Again, if you have one aid coming and telling a person you're a Baal Mum and he denies it, Mima Haman, how do you believe the one aid? We said before that one aid and you contradict him is nothing. Elo de Shosik, obviously we must be talking about where he's not saying anything. You're saying he's a Baal Mum, he's not saying anything. Ur de Kavasei, so then the parallel case, Gabi Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, would also have to be the Shosik, would also have to be a case where, conceptually, where one person comes and tells him your mother was a Grusha or a Chalutza, and he doesn't say anything. Zekatoni, and yet the Bryce says something, Mikvah Psula B'Yachid, Baal Mum Psula B'Yachid, Baal Yechiech Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, Psula B'Shnayim. We see Rabbi Akiva is clearly saying a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. You need two aids to make him a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So we see Rabbi says that one aid, even when he's not being contradicted, is not enough in a double Shabbat. V'Abaya Amar, what would Abaya answer to that? No, you are talking about that he's contradicting him. You are talking about in both cases you have that one person comes and tells him you're a Baal Mum and he's contradicting him. One person comes and tells him you're a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. What's the difference? And Amar to my Mehaman. So you're arguing, then if one aid comes and tells him you're a Baal Mum and the Kohen contradicts him, why should we believe the one aid? The reason is because it can easily be proved. Da'amalei, because the one aid can tell him, shlach ba'afi, take off your clothes, and we'll see for ourselves. It's something that can easily be checked. Same thing, then the mikveh can easily be checked.
Measured.
That's exactly what Rabbi Akiva is arguing. The mikveh, the psul is intrinsic to it. You can measure the mikveh and you know objectively whether it's 40 sa or not. Well, Baal Mum is still the Gufa, and the Baal Mum is also something that you can objectively check right now by looking at it, by giving him an inspection. Whereas Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, you need to start collecting evidence. That's different.
And that's why you need...
So we can argue that it's not the same kind of situation. We're not talking about one aid. We're talking about in the case of a Baal Mum, you have one aid and the guy contradicts it. In the case, therefore, of Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, yes, if you have one aid and the guy contradicts him. The point is, Abaya would say that when it comes to a Baal Mum, one aid is enough even if the Kohen contradicts it, because it's something we can easily find out right now. Same thing with the Mikvah. Whereas Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, if he comes and tells him, you're a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, and the Kohen denies it, that's not good enough. But if he doesn't deny it, then one aid is enough, which is Abaya's point. I wanted to get to the Mishnah, but we got to get downstairs from Meyer, so it's 9:37, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.